And okay, things were changing all the time. It's quite busy where we were up because the where the Forest College House is now and things like that. That was the hub of what Concerna Forest was doing. The machinery. They had lorries, they had vans and things like that. They had a little field where the house next door is built on now. At the very top of that, you can see like an old carriage shed there at the top. But that used to be the garage for the Forest Commission's lorry that it used to carry people and the materials around all over the place. And then down below that, there was a petrol pump. There was various sheds and things like that where they kept all the materials and things. And eventually they built, in addition to the office that was next to the house, they built an office in the field where the chalet house is now. There's quite a decent sized office there, and there was a secretary, I think it was, who worked in there as well. That's where it was run from. And below the house, further down the road towards the Wenlock cottages and things like that, there was a field down there. You don't notice it now because it's all wood. But there was a field there, which was the nursery. And there was some sheds down there. And they had at one stage, initially they didn't because they bought seedlings in. But they actually, after a while, they grew seed beds there. They were like big raised beds, great big long raised beds as long as a cricket pitch. They grew the trees that they were going to plant from seed there. So they grew them in the seed bed, and then the rest of the field all the way down was rotivated and made into sections, and they planted out each of the seedlings into the nursery area before, and they'd live in there for a couple of years to get big enough to be able to be planted on the hills. The interesting thing was they got a, it was real. I suppose post-war, where a lot of people had come out of the army, a lot of military guys who got very good procedures for doing things. There was a procedure for doing everything, by the way, it's in the Forestry Commission. And they got these designs of A-frames, little frames with a bar across the top and an A-frame coming down. And what they do is they collect the seeds from the where they grew the seeds in the beds. And then they'd split them out, and they had a special frame with a V-shaped cut in it, like that, all the way down. And they'd drop a little seedling in each one of those Vs. And there was a clamp mechanism that clamped that shut then, and they could hold the whole row of plants up in one go. And they got a way of actually cutting, again, everything was measured carefully, so all the plants were exactly the same distance apart. And then there was a mechanism on the board as well, that when they put it down onto the soil, that it was the right distance away from the plant the other side. And very quickly they could just push all the soil together on that, lift the frame out, and you'd got a big row, a full row of seedlings planted without hardly damaging or touching. And then immediately put it back on, they'd do the same thing, and they'd work their way down the field and fill the whole field up with plants leaving there for a couple of years to be ready to be put out. And the thing I think that you can lose sight of sometimes is that when you look in the forests all the way over those hills, you don't realize that every one of those trees was planted by a man with a mattock, dug a hole, pulled a chunk of soil forward or clod forward, put the plant into it, plodded his way through under the next one. And when you look through it, it's hard to believe the amount of effort that they took. Okay, on some of the hilltops up behind the Wennelstill, up behind you there. It was wet on the top there, and what they did there was they'd actually use a big plow on a caterpillar, and they'd make a long turf when they'd throw the soil over and they'd plant the trees on that. That was quite interesting. And we used to go out and when, for example, when they were ploughing on the top, we used to have a ride on the caterpillar with, I think it was Reg Hope, who used to live in St. Harmon, who used to drive it. And that was a beast in itself. The caterpillar was, I think, some had been regenerated from some ex-army engine or something like that. It's called a Fowler, and to start it, there was no batteries or anything like that. It had a little donkey engine that you put a cartridge in, and you locked it up, and then you struck the cartridge. So in other words, you shot a charge into it that threw the engine over and hopefully would start the engine. It was a remarkable machine. I don't know if there are any of those around now, but we used to mess around with those. And when we were young, for example, when they, before they planted the trees in front on the bottom of the Globe Hill, the slope coming down there, they removed a lot, well, obviously removed the oak trees that were there. And the Forest Commission guys were split the logs, they cut them into logs, split the logs into with big wedges and sledgehammers to make the posts that they'd need to go all the way around the perimeter of all the fences that the Forest Commission were putting up around the land that they'd either acquired by compulsory purchase or normal purchase. But yeah, it was some, you know, quite often we'd be out there. And at the time as well, the Forest Commission were building roads everywhere. All those roads they put in that you see around, most of the original ones are those, not the ones that the extractors, the people taking timber out now are doing. They just rip through the soil and make a right mess. But they put those roads in before they put a lot of the trees in. So they prepared. Everything was prepared. They needed to have the road infrastructure in there. They needed to have, so they had to make sure they got the plants. And so there were teams of people kind of building the roads, kind of with graders and caterpillars and things. And there's quite a lot of work there. And they'd be blasting through the rocks as they were going in front of our house. And they'd be blowing the whistle to tell people to be aware they were just about to blast. And the work agents, when stones were falling in the field just across the road from us, from the top of the hill down, it was quite an operation. As well as that, there was a lot of work for people during that time. It seems, I don't know where they came from, all of them. They weren't all immediately from the Abbey. They were from Reda, Pantador and places like that and places around. But in addition to planting the trees, obviously you had to prepare the land. They were planted in, I think, what do they call them? Compartments, I think. The trees were planted originally and they'd leave a ride or a fire break between them. And the fire break, somebody would have to plough the fire break or make that such that it wasn't good for a fire to leap across and things. So there was a lot of work going on. And then they had to weed the trees when they planted them when they were very small. There were teams of people who'd be going around spending weeks and weeks and weeks kind of weeding sections and things like that of the trees that were young. And once they got up a certain height as well, there'd be teams going out to brush them where you'd cut the lower branches off before you get to the point, you know, when they start getting bigger, before they get to the stage where they were, I suppose, 15, 20 years old, where they were starting to take the first thinnings out. So there was a lot of effort there. There must have been 40 plus people working for the forestry at that time.